CFL postseason opens up this weekend as the East Division and West Division semifinals finally go. It's finally playoff time in the Canadian Football League as we welcome you back to the big show, welcome you back to Football Fridays. Pat Steinberg along with you. And from the NFL, we turn our attention to the Canadian Football League and our CFL insider from 3downnation.com, Justin Dunk. Hello, Justin. How are you?
Doing well. Ready for some postseason ball up here in Canada.
Yeah, well, and we'll get to some of these matchups and some of the important aspects of the matchups in just a second. Before we do that, let's kind of look back at what we've seen this week, and specifically when it comes to the individual award nominees we found out for both the East and West Division. And let's start right at most outstanding player. You've got on one side Mike Riley of the Edmonton Eskimos, on the other side Ricky Ray of the Toronto Argonauts, but you're leaning West over East, and it sure does sound like Riley's the favorite right now.
Certainly, and I feel like some people are going to give a vote to Ricky Ray for his career-long accomplishments, which are obviously worthy of consideration and Hall of Fame consideration, but we're talking about the most outstanding player in the league this year, and it has got to be Mike Riley when we boil it down to these two quarterbacks. He was the most pressured quarterback in the league, and somehow only gave up the least amount of sacks. So that tells you the impact Riley had on this team. He set an Eskimo single-season passing record, had the most total touchdowns accounted for in the league, really got it done in a multitude of ways, was the Eskimo's leading rusher as well. And obviously, that Edmonton team had to deal with a bunch of injuries essentially for the entire season. So for all of those reasons, that's why I believe Riley should be the MOP favorite.
Two pretty deserving East and West Division nominees, though, when you're talking about Riley and Ray.
For sure. Obviously, what Ricky has done has been impressive. Late in the season, though, it seemed to have turned to more of a running game with James Wilder Jr. That said, Ricky Ray still had success, put up over 5,500 yards for the first time since 2008, all the way back when he was with Edmonton, where Riley, of course, is now. So it's been a good year for Ricky Ray, just not quite outstanding.
Right, right, absolutely. Well, and you know, in terms of other award winners, anything that jumps off the page at you, anything that, you know, whether it be most outstanding Canadian or defensive player, anything that really jumps off the page for you now that the nominees have been released?
Well, to me, and this is no slight at Sean McEwen, who played at the University of Calgary. He's the East Division rep for most outstanding offensive lineman. But I just cannot understand how Chris Van Zyl was not nominated out of his team for that award and is not the East nominee for that. He plays right tackle, has such a huge impact on that team, obviously playing, but from a leadership perspective as well. So that one, to me, is a snub that I'll just never understand.
Yeah. So the award nominees are out, the All-Stars are out. Any snubs or any snubs All-Star wise or anybody that you really liked in terms of, you know, getting some love this year that maybe they hadn't gotten in other years? And is anything else, for whether it be All-Stars, that jump off the page to you?
Well, finally, Micah Johnson got the proper recognition he deserved. He should be a CFL All-Star for what he's done this season. To me, you know, you can make an argument for a guy like Tommy Campbell, who I did have on my ballot for a West All-Star, and I guess it was a couple other guys that were in that conversation and made it, Ciante Evans and Chris Randall at the cornerback position. So you can see that, but, you know, I feel like a lot of people end up just looking at stats and the counting categories for the positions that have them, and both based off that. Because to me, you look at the East Division, and you have Victor Butler at one defensive end, and I felt like Sean Lemon had more of an impact. Yes, they were on the same team, but Sean Lemon had more of an impact overall when he was on the field for that team, even though he didn't have the same amount of sacks as Butler had. I believe Butler had 10, Lemon had 8, but a lot of those sacks that Butler got were because Lemon was freeing him up.
And just one more on the Toronto Argonauts, because they get the job done. Final game of the regular season for anybody. They go out, they beat BC, they make sure that they clinch home field and get the bye into the East Division final. They'll play the winner of Ottawa and Saskatchewan, but they get some good news because they've got an important player coming off the 6-game injured list.
Ultra important. And Marcus Ball, their outstanding playmaking linebacker, will be back for the Eastern Final. He was taken off the six-game injured list officially today, which means he could start practicing, and he was at practice today as well. A key piece for that Toronto defense that has had a turnaround season under defensive coordinator Corey Tambourine.
That's important to note. I mean, a lot of talk about James Wilder, a lot of talk about Ricky Ray, but this defensive group has turned itself into one of the better units in the Canadian Football League and probably doesn't get the recognition that they deserve. Although they did have a ton of all-stars, but just overall, when you think about the Argos, I don't know if you think about how good they are defensively.
I would agree. Not a lot of people have been talking about this Argos defense, and you look at Sean Lemon and Victor Butler, who I mentioned, who might be the top defensive end pair in the league. I mean, Calgary could obviously make an argument for that with Charleston Hughes and whoever plays opposite of him every year there with the Stampeders. But you look at the linebacking core. Cassius Vaughn has been strong at Sam Bear Woods in the middle, and you have Marcus Ball running around on that weak side doing some impressive things. And the secondary has been good too. And I feel like one guy that does go underrated and maybe should have got stronger all-star consideration was Akwasi Owusu-Anta on the weak side. He has been playing at a high level consistently every game this year.
He's Justin Dunk. He is our CFL insider from 3downnation.com. Joins us every Friday as part of Football Friday here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, let's get into it. The postseason starts Sunday morning in Calgary at 11 o'clock when the Ottawa Redblacks welcome the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the East Division semifinal. Let's first of all look at this from a Riders perspective, because down the stretch, they've used both Brandon Bridge and Kevin Glenn in virtually every game. Right now, they look like they've got a two-quarter back system. Is that what we're expecting on Sunday?
It seems to be that way because Chris Jones has continued to call Kevin Glenn his starter. But if you've noticed, what happens is that Kevin Glenn goes in the game, especially late in the season, the Riders get down, and then Brandon Bridge goes in and has to sort of bring them all the way back and lead a comeback of some sort. So to me, with the way Kevin Glenn has been playing compared to Brandon Bridge, I feel like the more prudent decision would be just to start Bridge from the start so you don't get down early in the game. But that's not the case. They've gone with Kevin Glenn. He's the veteran there, obviously has a playoff experience under his belt, doesn't have the great cup ring quite yet, but it seems like he'll be the starter in Ottawa, and we'll have to see where the game plays out from there.
In terms of the overall matchup itself, break it down for us. Saskatchewan and Ottawa, in terms of where the advantages lie, who do you like? How do you handicap the East Division semifinal?
Well, the one big advantage I feel like the Riders can take advantage of is their receiving core, right? Deron Carter is back over on that side of the ball. Naaman Roosevelt is going to be healthy. And Ottawa's back end has been steady. There's been some underrated guys there, too. But I feel like that's an area where the Riders can have an advantage. Where the Redblacks can have an advantage, I feel like, is their running game has been strong, and Chris Jones has been dropping a lot of defenders lately. So if they get William Powell rolling, and they've been able to do that late in the season, and have some ball control and keep those talented receivers off the field for the Riders, then that's the spot where the Redblacks can have an advantage.
And then the West Division semifinal, 2:30 Calgary time on Sunday with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers hosting the Edmonton Eskimos. The Bombers got the job done in Calgary to seal the West Division semifinal home date, which was good news for them. They did it without Matt Nichols at quarterback. What is the status of Matt Nichols going into their playoff game against Edmonton, though?
So everyone was wondering where Matt Nichols was in terms of practice today. He was actually at the birth of his child. So that sort of created some interesting reports on social media when he wasn't at practice and where was Nichols and is he going to play. All indications out of Winnipeg are that Matt Nichols is going to play in the West semifinal. It's just more a matter of how actually impactful can he be coming off this injury, because he has not taken the normal amount of first-team reps that a starting quarterback would. So I wonder how effective Nichols can be with this lower body injury. And with Dan LeFever getting some of the reps, you have to imagine that the Bombers at least have some sort of a plan B in place.
So how does that change or affect your view of the Bombers heading into this game against a red-hot Eskimos team?
Well, it's vastly different, and we saw the difference last week against Calgary in terms of what the Bombers are going to be on offense. They're going to use Timothy Flanders and Andrew Harris in the backfield as long as both are healthy, and more of a running game, ball control style of offense. They won't be as vertical with Dan LeFever in that quarterback, and I think it's pretty easy to see that when you watch the Bombers, especially playing Calgary last week. Matt Nichols is in there. They're throwing the ball all over the field and doing many different things in the passing game that Dan LeFever just doesn't have the capability to do because he's had some shoulder injuries.
And finally, just a thought, who do you like, Edmonton, Winnipeg in the West Division semifinal?
Well, I know Edmonton's on the road, but I got to go with the Eskimos. They have the healthier quarterback, arguably the better quarterback, probably the better quarterback in that situation. Their receiving corps has really come together there with Darrell Walker leading the way. Darius Bowman has sort of awoken from a midseason slumber where his numbers were dipping. And I think the key for the Eskimos has really been that secondary coming together ever since they got the all-star type talent in Aaron Grimes back from the NFL.
Great stuff, my friend. Enjoy your playoff weekend. We'll have another weekend of playoff action to look forward to 1 week from today, but I'm looking forward to these two games because this 2017 postseason shapes up like it could be really, really interesting. Thank you, Mr. Dunk.
Cheers, man. Have a good one.